Mr. Eagle's real one. When and where were you born, Mr. Eagle?
Right, I was born at a place called Newcastle-under-Lyme, Staffordshire, 18 Victoria Street, and that was on the 16th of the 11th, 1924.
What did your father do for a living?
Well, my father did very, very little, for the simple reason that he was wounded from the First World War, and he died when I was 6 years old. I think he'd be about 28 or something like that. I think when he did work, I think he worked as a general labourer, or I believe he did work for a short time down the mines, and then, of course, joined the army, World War One, and where he was seriously wounded. I believe he had, from what my mother tells me, he had 22 major operations on his leg, and eventually he died with tubercular bone disease of some sort. And he probably would have had his life saved, but I think, like a lot of people at that time, I think he had a saying that used to go, so my mother reminds me that I came into this world with two legs on, I'll go out with two legs on. Well, he did. And he left my wife, a very young, my mother, a very young widow, and a young son, me, which was six.
And you were the only child?
I was the only child, yes.
So life must have been pretty tough for him.
Very hard, very hard. You know, I always remember a story he said to me. As he was dying. I don't remember my dad very much, actually, at all. One thing I do recall, and that is, and you might laugh at it, I can only remember standing in a gents' urinal with him having a wee. And the other thing was, he told me the biggest porky, that when he told me that when he died, we would own all the houses on the opposite side of the street, which numbered about 30 or 40 or possibly 50. And you know, as a little lad of six, I thought we were going to be very rich. But of course, this was just a little joke, yes. But being a little lad, I took it serious.
Did your mother go out to work?
Oh, yes, yes. My mother, a self-taught tailoress, and she used to tell me the story where that she got in trouble when she bought a sewing machine on hire purchase from somebody around the doors. Because don't forget, my mother would now be 100-year-old this year. And she bought this on hire purchase, unbeknown to her. It was her father. We didn't believe in them days in hire purchase, but it was probably about a grand sum of a shilling a month or something, I don't know. But she did time at the time, which I can't recall. Anyway, she taught herself to do sewing, and she used to keep the whole family of eight as a young girl while stitched up. And of course, that made a good thing for the father, or my grandfather and grandmother. She then, as I say, she used to do sewing. She used to scrub floors, take in washing. In fact, anything. In fact, I remember one time where she actually used to go to several houses and keep the, you know, wash the floors and general tidy around. And between that, I used to go right then. She'd make small dresses, trousers, anything for kiddies. She used to go to jumble sales, and she would then unpick them and then wash them and then make them into small pairs of trousers, which I would have my little clientele around the doors, where they were fourpence and sixpence, you know, whatever price they came, but dresses, any price, fourpence, sixpence, ninepence if they're really good. And we used to have quite a good clientele. Anyway, I remember one day when she... Am I going off the trot here?
No.
I remember one day my mother suffered terribly with asthma. And the one dread she had, that she should die, and I would have to go to cottage homes. And of course, it used to worry me as well, because, obviously. And... Well, I used to put it, now and again, I used to get off Mrs. Eakes and Mrs. Alex and Mrs. Good and Mrs. So-and-so, probably a halfpenny every now and again. And I used to put it in the savings bank, which was down at the local post office. And it used to be like a little book you used to get, and you used to put like ordinary postage stamps on, if I remember rightly. I remember one day, the first time I ever saw my mother cry, she had a bout of being very ill, and she said, well, I have no money. And I said, Mum, I have plenty of money. I'm well off. And I think I had the grand sum of probably about 8 shillings or so, which is quite a bit of money, I suppose, for a child. And she said, well, she'd borrowed tuppence off me to buy some kippers that used to go around the town, around the streets at probably 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock at night. And my mother repaid me that tuppence. She insisted.
Can you describe the neighbourhood you lived in?
Yes. Well, the terrace-type houses with an outside toilet. There was a tap in the yard that we were lucky, because we were the only ones who used to use this tap, but in the other part of the yard, where there'd be about 8 houses joining onto the yard, they would have a communal tap outside. And anyway, I always remember Mother used to take me out and in the morning, probably from being about 7-ish, and sort of wash my face in this lovely cold water.
So a working class area?
Oh yes, very much so.
How close of a knit area was it in the sense of neighbours and the help and assistance you may have got from them?
Well, I can't really recall much help, except that Mother said to me one day, when I was much older, about 30-year-old, could be told these things, that there was a counsellor who I think used to dole out meal tickets or whatever, vouchers you call them, I think, and they'd probably be for 10 shillings or something like this. But I think he actually expected somebody as well, and of course my mother didn't like that. And we didn't do very well, because my mum was very independent, very industrious, worked from morning till night. And, well, I think that's the way we were born.
The house itself that you lived in, you described the yard and the tap. What was it like?
Well, extremely damp. In fact, the water used to be, in the yard itself, it must have been about 18 feet high. And that was a sort of, as though it had been built up in a garden right up to the top of it, but from the next door. And this used to produce a lot of water. We used to run down, I think it also ran down the house as well. And the house was extreme. And what I always remember was that in the morning, my mother used to try to conceal from me that the snails, whopping big black snails, she used to scrape them off in the bucket and dispose of them, you know, and to keep me a bit, I suppose, protect me, really.
And a young boy, a small boy, in that neighbourhood, living amongst, close to other children, did you get on well with?
Oh, yes, extremely well. And I must admit, we might have been poor, but I was certainly the best dressed kid in the school. No, I was not the best dressed kid. There was 2 or 3 children who were fairly, I should imagine, middle class families of the day. And I always remember one little lad who was wheelchair bound, who called him Pew. I always remember Pew. And I think his parents were quite well, because I think he had pocket money in them days of probably about 5 shillings a week. And he took a shine to me because I was the only boy who could just about hold his own with him at arm wrestling, because he was extremely strong. He was paralysed from the waist down. But he, for some reason or other, we used to get on very well. And I used to arm wrestling, but he always beat me. But but I think I must have been a good fighter, because he liked me.
How old were you when you went to school?
Well, start off at, I should imagine, about 5-year-old until 14 years.
Which school did you start?
Well, I started at just Newcastle Junior School.
You were up in the north then, were you?
No, that was in Potteries.
Newcastle Underline.
Potteries, yes. That's one of the 5 towns.
What are your memories of school life?
No, I was a lousy scholar, really. But I used to, funny enough, I used to like it. I was very nervous, quiet. I was always quiet. And I think, really, this was to my detriment, really. I was quiet. I wasn't sure of life, I think. I think, really, I was always frightened for my mother died and I went in a home. That always haunted me. Always haunted me. And whether it was good or bad, I don't know, really. But I know that when my mother married, when she remarried and I'd be about 11 year old. And she married a fairly illiterate man, but a very kind man. But very interested in boxing and things like this. In fact, he built me a boxing ring in the back garden. I think it was. But never mind, there you go. I had to leave school at 14. Because I wanted to help my mother. Well, anyway, and I must admit, I was beginning to enjoy classes then, really, because we came across a teacher, Major James. We used to call him Major James. He'd been a major, obviously, in the First World War. And he was a very strict teacher. But I liked him. And I think he was like me, because he used to single me out for little things, that I was always clean and tidy, and always tried to write nice for him. I think I was a bit scared of him, really. But I still liked him, because he was I always thought, a very fair man. But he never gave me this. I think he came me once. But I asked for it, actually. And I always remember one day, because at this time I'd gone into boxing, because I fancied being a boxer. So I've got no brains, so I thought, well, boxing might be a good thing to go into, make a few shilling. And what with joining a local boxing club, which my stepfather used to run. And I always remember one day at school, Major James said to the class, who's the best fighter in the class? And they said, oh, Charles Eagles, because I was rather tall, actually. I've never grown into that school. And I was rather tall at the time for a schoolboy. And he said, oh, Charles Eagles, best fighter in the class. And of course, the boy, best fighter in the school, sir. And anyway, after the class went out, he called me back. He said, Charles, I want to have a word with you. And he says, do me a favour. He says, please. He said, because he says, young Harrison, I can't remember his Christian name, is being bullied by the Simpson brothers. Would you sort of walk home on your way back home? Because I know you live on the same road, which we did. And that night, I'm afraid, I ended up with a dust of nigh. I had to go with the two brothers. And the next day, I think they saw the state of the two lads, and he pulled me out, and he said, after class, he said, I want to see you after class. And he said, did you have a clash last night, then, Charles? I said, yes, but no bother, no problem. And he said, well, they are. He said, that was something for you, give me half a credit. I always remember that, give me half a credit, which is a lot of money then. And it was just one of them things, I think, I've never forgotten that. And I always remember Major James used to stand us all out of the class, and had your hands inspected, your nails inspected, your shoes. I mean, I must admit, all the boys in the art, I remember, all wore shoes, man, I must admit. We're all some tatty and all this and the other. But he remarked one day that my shoes were remarkably polished. And he said, now, Charles, do you clean them? I said, no, sir. I said, my mother cleans them for me every night, and when I get my money ready. He said, well, he says, I'm not going to say you should do it yourself, because I know you're a good lad. He said, because I know you go out and you collect wood, you go out and collect bits of coal, and you light a fire for your mother because she's not very well. And he says, I admire you as a boy. He said, I'm very proud of you. And you know, that meant more to me than anything. And I think I worked more for that man than anybody in my life to please him.
Did you feel that you got anything out of your education? That it was of use to you later on?
Not really. I was just beginning to come into education as I had to finish. And that was at 14. But I think I could have gone on then, because I was in the, I think I got then into me probably learning curve.
What did a young boy growing up in the area that you've described get up to in an evening in the days away from school?
Well, apart from, we used to have fires up at what we used to call the Atches, which was a bit of wasteland, which is about half a mile from where we lived. And I always remember that we used to go into this little little greengrocer shop, Mrs. Parks, I think the name was. And we used to go in there for these kale-eyed suckers, sherbets and things, over the halfpenny, whatever it was. And, you know, we'd nick a couple of potatoes on the way in and out. That means she knew what we were up to. But never mind. I mean, I think she closed her eyes and thought, well, it's almost fun. And anyway, this is the sort of thing, you go and take a few potatoes up the fields and roast them. And we used to have great times, really, and run wild, you know, whooping around like Red Indians and one thing and another. And it's funny as you say this, because after the, when I was in the army, I went round to see her, funny enough, that I said, Luke, I took her a little present. I said to her, Mrs. Parks, she's a very old lady by this time. And she says, yes, Charles. I said, it's a little present. I don't even know what it was. Might have just been a little bunch of flowers. I said, this will do for some of the potatoes stolen off. She said, Charles, I knew one of them. I've got you. That would do. That was fantastic. I'd never forgotten that. No, that was lovely. Oh, great.
You obviously got on well with your mother, obviously. What was the discipline in the home like?
My mother. You see, we had a fairly middle-class side of our family, which was my mother's side, which was the goods. They were like shopkeepers and things. So they were really middle. But they all worked big long hours in them days. I mean, they worked 11, probably 11 o'clock at night. But at least they had money coming in, if you know what I mean. And most of the family were in that sort of business. Oh, they had like general dealer shops on the corners. One was a shoe repairer and maker, make shoes as well, which I actually did for Major James, funny enough. And he always said he was the finest shoemaker in the county. The other was he had a mechanics garage, I suppose, really, where he looked after cars and mechanical work. The other one, I think, was charged accumulators and odd electrical little jobs, I think he did. But that was on the good side. They were quite well off. They were all self-supporting, let's put it that way. I would say well off. And the Eagleses were, well, as my mum used to say to me, my grandfather, as a part-time job, used to do the work for these, sanitation, what do you used to call them? The what's the proper name? For toilets and things, you know, they used to have these big water purifiers. And I forget the proper name. But anyway, and my mother always said that when the rag-tattered son married the mutman's daughter, and it was always a you know, a sort of joke the mother always told me, that because my mum really married, I think the family thought she'd married below the other family, you know, but never mind. I mean, it must have been love or something, as I say. But she certainly gave me everything that, I mean, I always had plenty of toys, because my mother used to go to jumble sales. I remember she bought bought me a bicycle once for 25 shillings, which had pneumatic tyres. Now, the other, my cousin Harry, he was ruined, he was with money, I must admit, as a boy. He used to always have everything, but I always seem as though, although I got mine through a second-hand shop, or jumble sales, or private sales, I always seem to come the better off. For some reason, I can't understand that. But it always worked that way. I remember him having a fairy cycle, as they call them, and that had the hard tyres. And then we went to a place called Beresford's, and my mother paid for it about, well, I think when she had a few shillings to spare, and I think she paid about 15 shillings for mine, and it turned out mine had blowy up tyres, you know, and that was one on my cousin Harry. And things like this, you know. But my mother really. But you had to work, not doing anything, not particularly working at anything, but she always sort of filled your mind that you only got, not religion, but you had to go to church on a Sunday.
I was going
to
ask you about
it. Yes. So you had to go to church on a Sunday morning and a Sunday afternoon. I never went on a night, mind, to be fair, but always on a Sunday afternoon. And that was it, I'd say, basically. But I'd say very happy, and of course very interested in sport, always was. And and I think for 1 year when I was 13, I think my stepfather and their mother enrolled me as a special request from me that I wanted to be a member of the Health and Strength League, and I think it cost 2 and 9 pence, I think. And I still have that somewhere. In fact, I was trying to find it the other day, which I must find because it's framed and everything. It's 2 and 9 pence them days. It's quite a thing, a lifelong membership for the Health and Strength League.
Did you join the Boy Scouts at church?
Oh, yes. Joined the Boy Scouts, yes. I wouldn't say I was a crazy on the Scouts because we had a right. Actually, because the other thing, I had the gymnasium where I was going nearly twice and thrice a week, you know. So really, the Scouts. Although I liked it, I don't even think about. Well, no, it was the Cubs I was in. I wasn't in the Scouts. Oh, I was in the Scouts. That's right. I was in for about a year. But as I say, I was mainly interested in me keeping fit as far as.
Did you have to buy the uniform yourselves?
Oh yes. Actually, I think mine come fairly cheap because my father used to. One time I'd worked for the vicar, and I think I probably had a bit of a hand-me-down on that one. Well, I would have had it, wouldn't have been new, there's no way. But I think the vicar was very kind to my mother, knowing, you know, she'd had a hard life. And with my dad working for him as a gardener, I think, when he was able to. And incidentally, he used to go and bail my dad out of about every other week for fighting, you know what I mean, outside the pub on a night, you know, just rolled in, you know.
Is this your stepfather or your father?
No, my father. Aye. And my mother always reminds me of, used to always tell me that when I was a baby, my dad would go in and have a drink, and of course, like most men at that time, they drink the wages. And this one night, my mother was so sick of waiting because she wanted someone to go shopping. She then went, put me in my pram, and the fox and goose, I think she said it was, the fox and goose, I think it's down there, but never mind. She pushed the doors open, she says, I think this bloody well belongs to you, she put me in the pram, and this was a big indignity. And my dad, and she says, your dad come up down the street sort of with his sort of, not a peg leg, but he sort of come. And my mother could take it off. And of course, telling me these stories, the tears used to roll down my face. And he said, I think this bloody well belongs to you. And that was me pushing and bundling.
Did you go camping with the Scouts?
No.
How did you take to the discipline of the group?
Well, the discipline never bothered me because I think really my mother was pretty well, you know, loving but fair and firm. I can only remember Mum ever smacking me once, I think. I can't remember ever. Not really.
And the Scouts were run by the church, were they?
Yes. They were run by the church. Yeah, quite good, actually. What was to say, but I was mainly interested in the boxing, I must admit. I used to go down to the gym, I'd say, three times a week. So one night, I mean, I ain't got to say. I mean, having said that, I used to enjoy the rough and tumble of the Scouts. That's always appealed to me, that did. But,
what kind of activities did you carry out in the Scouts?
Well, I don't think they voted really much all the time. I mean, you know, learning the knots and the Scouts promise and all this thing, and which I can't remember the minute. But never mind. I mean, this sort of thing. That, but yes, I used to just love the company, really. You know. Yes, I enjoyed it. But after having said that, I don't even remember for about a couple of years. I don't think it's any longer.
At what age did you say you left school?
14.
And where did you go?
For work.
For work.
Well, I started off in a shop in the town, which would sell bicycles and prams, pushchairs, things like that. And I don't think they sold toys in that department. But anyway, it was a very well-known shop in the town, Beresford's. And I got paid 10 shillings a week. The hours of working make me smile now when I think about it. We used to start work at 9 o'clock, but they expected you there at 8:45. And that was from Monday till Thursday. That would be 9 till 6. And that's when you sort of close the doors, swept the floor, and then on Friday, 9 o'clock till 9 o'clock, and on Saturday it was 9 o'clock till 8 o'clock. You had roughly about half an hour for lunch, you know, your sandwiches, that was all. And many times I've seen me just getting ready to go and saying, "Good night, Miss Partington. Good night, Charles. Oh, could you do this on your way home? It's only 3 miles on the side of the road." You go pushing the pram down the street for 3 miles. And of course, you might get a sixpence off the first you delivered it, but then again, you might get nothing. And that, I think it was 10 bob or 10 and 6. And I left there after about 2 years, probably less.
And you were just delivering the.
Oh, no, just working in the shop, just general dog's body, really, you know, fetch this. I mean, right, little gopher, really. And, we're very keen. Oh, nice to enjoy. Old man Beresford had a. He was the mayor of the town, actually, Beresford was. But he had a brother who was a bit of a lad. And I used to love talking. He'd been around and he used to tell me all the stories of the families and the things they got up to. But he was the mechanical one. He was quite a genius, actually. He invented one or two things and he used to show me how you balanced wheels up. This was intriguing to a young lad. You know, push bikes and Claude Butlers and things like that. And he'd say, "Have a go at it." I'd have a go at it, obviously. And I left there after about 14, 15, 16. Yes, I left there and I went to work for the Pyatt's Tire Company.